Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to an all-new edition of the Geek Cave. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And so, comics.
They're fine.
They're good.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Oh, by the way, we're brought to you by BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop. Anyway.
Yay, comics.
Yeah.
Who's got what for news?
Well, I've got a guest. Do you guys want to go ahead and...
Yeah, it's best to get the good stuff over with first.
He's the terror that flaps in the night.
Exactly. Yeah, it's best to get the good stuff over with first.
Want to welcome now on the show a couple of guys who are working on one of my favorite properties. Darkwing Duck is something that if you grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, you absolutely knew and loved. It was part of the Disney Afternoon. And recently, it came back to comics, and then it kind of went away, and now it's coming back again. Aaron Sparrow and James Silvani are joining us. And guys, thank you for taking some time.
Not a problem.
Now, let's start with you, Aaron. Tell me, tell our audience a little bit about where you fall in this whole spiel, because Joe Books is going to be debuting a new Darkwing Duck series in April, but you and James worked on a prior series with Boom. So is this going to be like a continuation of that? Is it going to be its own new thing? What's going to be happening there?
A little bit of both, actually. If you've read the previous series, there's a lot of little Easter eggs and things like that, little plot threads that we'll pick up on and that we'll play off of. But the book itself is not, you don't have to read the previous series to enjoy this one. The nice thing about Joe Book's format, when we did the book at Boom, we were kind of locked into these 4-issue story arcs because that's how they collected their trades. And so there was an editorial mandate for us to do, these big 4-part stories. And with Joe Books, we're going to do a lot smaller stories. So, we will have it'll be a lot more like the TV show with single episode stories, but that feature one villain, and then we'll have of course we'll build to larger arcs that have multiple villains or that have a larger threat. So but that's a long way of saying you don't have to read the previous series, although we would appreciate it if you went online and ordered the Definitively Dangerous edition.
Yeah, but, it's on my shelf right now.
Excellent. Anybody listening, if they want to catch up, if they want to read the previous season, as we're kind of saying, before they get the new season, we would love it if they did that.
All right, awesome. So the two of you, did either of you have any history with Darkwing coming into these books? I mean, these are characters that, while they may not have reached the upper pantheon of a lot of Disney characters, still beloved by a great number of people.
On my end, I was always a huge DuckTales fan before, and I kind of got into Darkwing later. That's because I'd always been a big fan of the old Carl Barks comics when I was a kid. Those were my first comics that I actually bought myself with my own money, with a paper route and stealing hubcaps and things like that. So, anything that was an offshoot of DuckTales, I jumped into immediately and got my love of Darkwing later. And when the opportunity came up to do the Boom book, Aaron had me, he was editing the book at the time and had me try out with a cover. And you can track down my original cover online somewhere because I was trying to draw the whole thing out of my head. And it wasn't pretty, but it stuck with me enough. It made enough of an impression that I was able to at least get something down on paper. And luckily, I've had a look at some model sheets since then, and hopefully it's improved.
Nice.
It's funny because when you drew when you did draw that first cover and you sent it in, that is the cover that got you hired for the job, even though it was off model. I told James, give me covers on these five different properties. I said, oh, and throw in a Darkwing Duck. We might do a Darkwing Duck book, not telling him that I had been plotting that for a continual amount of time. But when he sent it in, he just immediately got the humor, and so I knew he was our guy.
Nice. Well, Darkwing is one of those unique characters where he's a superhero that seems to be out for himself as much as anything else. When taking a look at such a character, obviously, like I said, loved by many, what kind of pressure is there to kind of maintain a faithfulness to the original series?
I think that, you know, that's first and foremost in our mind. I was a huge Darkwing fan when I was growing up. Absolutely loved the show. I came to it, of course, through DuckTales because I watched all of the Disney Afternoon from when it started with Gummy Bears, I believe. My brother and I would watch that when we got home from school. So this show really stuck with me, and what I really loved about it was that it was the first Disney cartoon that like kind of incorporated a Warner Brothers kind of sensibility to the characters, you know, falling anvils and characters getting squashed and, you know, smashed and, you know, still going on. So we try and maintain a faithfulness to the show. We want it to feel like the show. When you're reading it, we want the characters to sound, you know, like the characters in your head. You know, so when Steelbeak talks, we want you to hear Rob Paulsen. When Darkwing makes his big entrance, we want you to hear, Jim Cummings. When, you know, Honker has an asthma attack, we want you to hear Katie Lee.
Yeah. James, what about you? Any kind of additional pressure that comes with trying to keep the art style pretty much exactly what it looked like in the show?
You know, I mean, those are my kind of favorite adaptations, is when it does look like how it's supposed to look like. You know, growing up, that's my biggest example is the Star Wars comics from the original Marvel ones that they did. I mean, there were some great stories in there, and I loved having those books. But I thought, you know what, it doesn't look like Star Wars to me, and that's why, you know, I'm kind of glad that everything that happened before the new movies has been kind of thrown into non-canon now. But that's why I think I had. I was very lucky to go back and got to do some new art for the Definitively Dangerous edition, because I go back and look at my early art on there, and that was before I had the model sheets for the show. I was able to go into the Disney archives and track some of those things down. But you know, I look at those and see how terribly off model things were at the time, and you know, going back to Star Wars, yeah, I can kind of see what Lucas had in mind when he went back and did the special editions, because, man, there are some things I'm really glad I got to go back and fix.
Now, one thing that kind of reminds me of Batman when it comes to Darkwing Duck is the Rogues Gallery. He's got, like, a nice variety of villains. Do either of you have a favorite among Darkwing's villains?
I've got to say, I tend to... God, it's like Sophie's Choice. You're asking me to... I tend to... It changes, I think, depending on what we're working with. I love Liquidator. He's always been one of my favorites. I love Quackerjack quite a bit, not only because he's kind of a takeoff of the Joker, who's a really great villain, obviously, but... because he just has that kind of that weird toy sensibility and obsession, which is something that is definitely reflected in my own life since I'm a huge toy collector. I'll tell you what, I absolutely love writing dialogue for Steelbeak.
Okay.
On my end, I mean, I personally love drawing Megaduck because it's just able to take, you know, you think of the rogues, the entire Disney villain history, and I don't think there's any better villain in any medium that Disney has than Negaduck. I mean, you know, the guy shoots bunnies, for Christ's sakes. And just to be able to draw that evil on his face and knowing that there's no soul in there whatsoever, I think I have the most fun with him.
That is a pretty dark guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's actually did a great drawing once, and it's Negaduck, and he's holding all of the weapons and the various magic items and things like that from the all the Disney villains, and he's actually eating the apple from the poison apple, and from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and saying, you know, just sneering, you know, amateurs.
Can I just say that is absolutely terrifying? So obviously you're going to be adapting, you know, kind of continuing some of the stories that we would see in the television show, coming up with new stories. What about new villains? Any plans on creating something new to throw Darkwing's way as far as a villain's perspective?
Absolutely. In the new series, we, you know, I mentioned before that we, you know, we're not having to stick to four issue arcs. We open with a three part story that is really just pushing everybody into the deep end of, so to speak, of Darkwing's world. Mm-hmm. We kind of wanted to, you know, whereas The Dark Knight Returns was kind of a slow burn where we reintroduced things gradually. On this one, we just wanted to, you know, do something different and just grab everybody right away. So it opens with a three-parter, and we get to see a villain that's been mentioned but never seen. And then in our fourth issue, we have our first completely new villain that nobody has ever heard of before. And that villain is a lot of fun. It's probably the most powerful villain that Darkwing has ever faced. And the nice thing about it is it was truly a collaborative process. I came up with, you know, the idea for it and the name. James did like a great sketch for it. Even our letterer, Darren Bennett, like contributed some, you know, some elements of his design and refined it. And then Tad Stones came in and gave it like just the coup de grace. Like, here's one little element that you need to add. And once we did that, you know, we had our bad guy. So yeah, you'll see a lot of new, you'll see new villains throughout the series. We've got several planned, but that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's fan favorites are going to get short shrift. They're all in there too.
Do you guys have to touch base at all with Disney while working on the series?
Oh yeah.
Bringing it back to the idea of new villains. It looks like it has to fit in that universe. I mean, you could take your own sensibilities, but ultimately, we're creating new IP for Disney. We're creating new characters, and it looks like it has to fit in with their family of characters. I know with the old with the Boom series, when we got an opportunity to come up with some new bad guys for that, the bad guys Cantankerous and
One shot,
and with them, One Shot is a monkey, of course, mm-hmm. And so I look back at some of the Disney monkeys, like the ones I got for that were from Jungle Book, and part of King Louie's entourage, and that gave me the inspiration for those monkeys. And with Cantankerous, I was looking at Oliver and Company Oliver.
Okay.
And that you know, there is an aesthetic there with Disney that you don't see with, you know, you look at DreamWorks properties and the designs are kind of all over the place there. But with Disney, yes, there is a certain aesthetic that you got to stick with. And, you know, we haven't gotten any notes on designs yet. So hopefully we can keep the good work going there.
Well, hopefully that means that they think we know what we're doing.
Well, the new series launches in April. Now, if people want to make sure their retailer picks it up, is there like a way they can go to their local comic store or whatever and tell them how to get a hold of this series? Or
yeah, actually, orders are still open. I want to say that I've memorized the Diamond order code now because we've been promoting it. You basically just contact your local comic retailer. If you don't know if there's a comic store in your area, you can use the comic book locator service at comicbooklocator.com. Or you can you can go online to any fine online retailer and order a physical copy if you'd like. The Diamond order code is FEB161603.
All right, that is that's nicely done.
Yeah, so hey, you got to know how to promote this stuff. Comic book marketing only goes so far.
All right, so launching in April, ongoing series. You guys have no definitive end for it. You're just going to go as long as they'll let you.
As long as people keep buying it, we hope, and as long as they'll let us do it and don't cart us away in straitjackets.
At least until DC comes along and offers us Batman.
Well, you know what's fun? Oh, I would love to do a Batman animated series comic.
Oh.
I'm scared to do it in the regular DC universe. I'll leave that to guys like Scott Snyder, who is doing a really great job. But Batman animated universe, so good.
Well, now I want a Darkwing and Batman crossover, so thanks for that. All right. Well, again, Aaron Sparrow, James Silvani, thanks a lot for joining us. Darkwing Duck hits in April from Joe Boots, but you can pick up the Definitively Dangerous edition right now. Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Some of that audio, by the way, courtesy of WoWo in Northeast Indiana.
Thanks, WoWo.
Thanks, guys.
Whoa.
Whoa.
They like us. It's cool.
Yeah. We kid.
They like a third of us.
Well, that's true.
They don't really know the other of us.
Yeah. But we're not going to say which third they like.
News.
Down that path leads to hurt feelings.
News.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys hear the latest about the DC Rebirth
No. thing?
It's a thing.
You know that they're doing the thing.
Oh, yeah, they're doing the thing.
Well, apparently now it's not a reboot, although it sounds a lot like one.
Hmm.
All of their comics, except for Action and Detective, are being reset to number one.
Sounds like a reboot.
And but most of the stories are going to continue as they were. However, they're going to start adding more of the classic mythology, like from when we were growing up and before us, that kind of history.
So it's not quite the reverse of what New 52 was.
It's not really a reset, but it's not really a regression. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, pay attention. That's going to come back later. Yeah. But
We may or may not explain why. I don't know.
Jeff Johns, who, by the way, did Green Lantern Rebirth and The Flash Rebirth, both were really good.
Well, yeah.
Now they're just doing that with the DC Universe. They're like, we need to
They're just giving the whole DC Universe to Jeff Johns.
Yeah.
That's an awful lot to keep track of.
Yeah. Well,
if anybody can do it, it's him, and I have complete faith in him.
It's going to start with a single issue that's called DC Universe Rebirth. It'll just be a one-shot. But it'll tie in with all of the ongoings.
So does that mean Superman finds his underwear?
I hope so.
Sweet.
But what it will mean, definitely, is that, according to Johns, DC Universe Rebirth is going to have the single most controversial and shocking scene ever in a DC comic.
Deadpool.
No, they did that. Batman, the Superman-Batman Annual number one.
No, that was Deadpool knockoff. He means Deadpool.
That'd be great.
They bought the rights to Deadpool on the sly.
I don't know. Since they love everything Batman, my prediction is that everybody becomes Batman in DC Universe Rebirth. Literally everybody.
Didn't we talk about this last month?
We talked a little bit about it.
This is what would happen if Batman had been an alien from another planet.
Yeah.
This is if Batman had been, you know.
Well, they did that one. That was in Elseworlds. Was it like Clark who became Batman, or
yeah.
Clark's ship lands in Gotham.
That's one. That's an issue you should track down. By the way,
it's called Speeding Bullets.
Speeding Bullets.
I own it. If you want to borrow it, contact me.
There you go.
No, you can't.
Don't contact.
You can't borrow it. No.
Don't contact Justin either. under any circumstances. At Deep Tape Justin on Twitter.
I like my me time.
You can borrow it. No promises on if those pages will be stuck together.
Between 3:10 and 3:15 is Justin's me time. So both AM and PM. He gets it twice.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. All right. Other comic news. I don't really have too much other than, you know, you should probably pick up... The Coming of the Superman. It's Neil Adams' return to comics. Neil Adams doing a Superman story. It's a standalone thing. It seems pretty fun. I think you'll enjoy it. That's really all I've got because we're, you know, Toy Fair is going on and we're just kind of waiting for some of the bigger comic conventions to happen and unleash all their movie with a little bit of comic news.
That's true. Chad, you got anything?
He nods his head for a second and then goes, oh, no.
And then shakes his head.
And shakes his head quite vigorously.
Left to right.
I love it when you shake your head. Your beard waggles. It's fantastic. It's marvelous.
It is truly a thing to behold.
It's more than fine.
It is. All right. Well, I guess it's up to me now.
See, the thing is, if I shake my beard hard enough, I can actually see it in my peripheral vision.
That's the dream, ladies and gentlemen, right there. That is the dream.
Slow motion. It's wagging back and forth.
See, it's also fun, like, in the wind, because it's bristly enough now that I can actually hear it whistle.
See, most people come to podcasts for, like, news and entertainment, and we're talking about Chad's beard.
Hey, which, also called entertainment?
Yeah, yeah, and it's informative.
You know, so I'm sure there's podcasts on beard and beard grooming and whatnot, so this is... Everybody's a geek for something, yeah. Darren.
Hey, no, I agree. Remember when you used to have, like, the little... kind of like sinister mustache,
the handlebar
handlebars. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I just thought of them as points because they were kind of pointy.
It would have been slightly more effective had you not had the goatee as well.
I know, but you know, I gotta go my own way.
It's like a vaudevillian kind of mustache.
If you'd let it grow like really long and then twirled.
Yeah,
this segment brought to you by Shave Secret. Anyway, yeah,
my wife would not have gone for that.
You didn't have to. You would have had all sorts of ladies throwing themselves at that.
You could have told her, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Anyway.
Anyway. So, time for the long box.
Yeah! We don't have an intro.
Not yet, anyway.
Mm.
So.
Comics are hard.
Okay.
Comics are hard. All right, now. Yeah.
Do you know what's going on in the backstories of your... favorite stars? Probably not.
Justin's box is long and ready for you. It's the Justin White long box.
Thanks, Kent.
Oh, yeah.
So, show of hands, who saw Deadpool?
This is an audio podcast, but let's just say all of us did.
Oh, son of a... Darn it!
Okay, there's three hands up in the air.
I have to reset the board now. Thanks.
Sorry.
So, yeah, Deadpool the movie. It's a thing. It's a fantastic thing. I'm sure we'll talk about it more in Chad's segment. Right, Chad?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, anyway, one of the characters that was quite possibly, you know, an unexpected surprise for me was Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead?
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic Teenage what the what?
Exactly.
Okay. Negasonic what Warhead?
Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Little, you know, almost bald goth girl who's kind of copping an attitude left and right with everybody.
Little NT-dub.
Yeah, yeah. Her character surprised me the most out of the movie because I didn't know much about her.
Sorry, I thought that was supposed to be like...
audible gasp.
Yeah,
I thought that was some kind of revelation.
No, it was right here in the script. Seeing like, hold on, right here, audible gasp. Oh, so yeah, okay. You did it right. You're fine.
You're good. Yeah. You're good. You were on cue. You're fine. So I decided, what the hell? I'll make her this month's long box because I don't know much about her.
Chad, no.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead riding the long box. Brought to you by Buzz Time, Sure to Source, and GameStop.
It's fine.
Power.
It's fine.
To the player. So come on, player. Pull out that long box. Let's see what's on there.
Go on and Negasonic that warhead.
Do we have any kind of giveaways this month? Because I think the contest should be... pinpoint the exact moment when this podcast derails immensely.
Sure I'm sure I can find something.
And I'm Chad. And I'm
Chad Savage. Chad Savage. So, in the movie, she's this, you know, smarmy goth teen who, you know, doesn't really care about anything. She's got spectacular blow-up powers.
Yeah. She makes things go boom.
She makes things go boom. Mostly herself, but in a non-destructive way for her, you know. She goes boom, but collateral damage.
Like Cannonball.
Yeah. That's basically who she is. She's a female goth Cannonball.
Okay.
In the comics, not so much. I was actually kind of disappointed.
Hmm.
Her real name is Ellie Feinmeister. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, and I don't care because she's not a real person.
That's a Grant Morrison thing.
It is. She was she was created by Grant Morrison, I believe. And well, she was definitely named after. Yeah, created by Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly, and named after the song Negasonic Teenage Warhead by Monster Magnet.
All right.
So, you know.
Closing music to this segment?
Yep. I know what that outro is.
Yeah. So I read that and I'm like, okay, my interest is really piqued in the comic book character. And then I read up on her and I'm like, oh, sad bunny. She is kind of goth-ish in her appearance. She was a teenager on Genosha. You remember how, you know.
Yeah, that went well.
That went well. She's a telepath, and she has some precognitive powers. She was one of Emma Frost's students. And she actually predicted the attack on Genosha and told Emma. And, well, we see how that ended up.
Well, Emma wasn't in a good place at the moment.
Yeah, after the attack, Emma appears to be carrying Ellie's corpse. So, you know, she didn't make it.
That sucks.
Sadly, Negasonic Teenage Warhead was no more. Until much later. Where she's seen alive and well as a member of the latest incarnation of the Hellfire Club.
Oh, yeah, an Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was not real either.
What?
Yeah, they were just projections of Emma Frost's mind. So, fake out, sucker!
Fake out, sucker.
Fake out, sucker. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I am the sad.
Yeah, so she's made all of 14 appearances in the comic books. I'm not kidding you. 14 appearances.
Wow.
She was created back in 2001, made 14 appearances. Her comic book life sucks, but she will live on forever in Deadpool, the movie, as a fantastic side character.
Yeah, I really liked her.
How much you want to bet she makes a resurgence in 2016?
I'm okay with that.
You're implying that the movies have impact on the comics?
If they do well at the box office, yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying since Marvel has...
audible shrug.
Indifferent shrug.
Since Marvel has, like, always continually denied that, that was just a little, you know, wink.
Well, Marvel does like to make money.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I think people who go to Vegas, yeah. But to answer your question. But anyway...
Hi, Vegas listeners.
People who live in Vegas are different from people who just go to Vegas.
This is true.
Yeah.
Although it does take a special breed to live out in Vegas.
But because...
The Badlands.
the crime rates. Dear God, the crime rates. I mean, how else would they make a TV show that lasts for so long if they didn't have such horrible crime rates? Because of the success and popularity of Deadpool, it only makes sense that we'll see some of these side characters get a little bit more page time, as it were.
Yeah.
And she might not ever become a headliner.
No, I highly doubt she will ever get her own series.
But I think that we'll see more like the, you know, the continuing adventures of Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
I'm okay with that, especially if they do this, they keep her true to what they did with the movies. Because in the comic books, she's kind of dry. There's nothing...
I'm really good with dry.
Well, I mean, there's
in terms of humor.
I mean, no, not humor. Just dry as a...
Oh.
She's just kind of there.
No personality within the character.
No personality within the character. She's a one-trick pony. I predict something bad will happen. Something bad happened and she didn't make it out. Oh, well. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, but, you know, whereas in the Deadpool movie, you know, she's full of snark and boom.
Yeah.
What's it going to be? Sullen silence?
Yeah.
Or snarky comment?
Oh, sullen silence it is.
You got me painted
Finish
into
your
a corner.
Tweet. So, yeah, I hope if they bring her back in the comic books, they retool her character to be more like the movie. She doesn't necessarily have to have the, you know, everything goes boom power, because they already got, you know, she's basically Cannonball.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who that is, I only have time for one long box today. Sorry, kids.
Oh.
Look it up!
Marvel Wiki.
Marvel Wiki. But at least give her, you know, attitude.
Yeah.
You know, give her presence personality-wise. So, There you go. A very dull character in the comic books who made a big hit in the movies after some tweaking.
All right.
And a shaved head. Because she has hair in the comic books.
I like her without hair.
Yeah. The, hair. The Sinead O'Connor look works on her.
It does.
I just kind of had this thought that they should have, after she exploded, like the rest of her hair went away. Like that's why she doesn't have a head of hair. Like every time she explodes, just all the off. Hair just
burns off. I like
that's
that.
That's the one thing that doesn't survive. It's fantastic.
Marvel, I hope you're listening. Yeah. DC, we know you are, but you know, we'll get back to you in a second. speaking of DC, something I forgot.
No, you said you're out of news.
I was just going to say your favorite version of Batman's bat.
My favorite version of Batman.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne is a not Robo Bat.
Oh, I was thinking, you know, animated series Batman voiced by Kevin Conroy.
Well, Kevin Conroy is voicing a new animated Batman in Justice League Action, which we can talk about in the movies segment.
Okay. Isn't that the one that's supposed to be like Teen Titans Go?
Yeah, except not as... What's the word I'm looking for? Because we've got a few listeners who really like Teen Titans Go, and they've complained that we bash it too much. So,
well, we wouldn't have to bash it if it wasn't so poorly written.
That's what I was looking for.
Actually, it's...
Snark?
Yeah.
I think maybe the... How about the kindest way to put it is, if it weren't geared towards such a young crowd...
Right, which these characters are for all ages, but, you know...
I would probably be more okay with Teen Titans Go... if they didn't basically pull from the Teen Titans cartoon. The character design, the voice actors.
Yeah.
Change it. You want to use the same characters? Fine.
Tweak it.
Tweak it. Get different actors. Make them look different. This is just a dumbed-down version of Teen Titans.
Which was
an excellent show. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
Ignorant shrug. I never watched it.
No.
Hashtag Renew Young Justice. Anyway.
turn your laptops on, open up Netflix, and just, you don't even have to watch it, just marathon Young Justice season 1 and 2 in the background.
They're thinking about a third season. We want it to happen so we can get Greg Weisman back on the show.
And Chris Jones.
He's been really nice to us. Anyway.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. We'll take...
Say hi to Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chad.
I didn't get a harumph out of this guy.
Anyway, we'll take...
Chad is hanging his head in shame.
We appreciate you listening to the Deep Cave Podcast Comics Podcast. I have to find a way to shorten that name.
Featuring the Long Box.
Featuring...
Long Box, long name. Yeah.
Be sure to download the rest of our episodes or subscribe. Stitcher, Podbean, and of course, iTunes and DeepCavePodcast.com. Check out the gaming and movie podcast, especially if you want to know what It's Fine is all about.
Or not.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. So, if we don't see you in the next segment, have a good one. Everyone's a geek for something.